Dear Heavenly Father, we are so humbled and pleased to come before you this evening. Thankful, Lord, for the love you continue to bestow upon us, showing us love that you have for us and sending your Son to the world and to die and give his life on our behalf. Lord, we are thankful for that sacrifice, for that atonement that is possible in him. Thankful, Lord, that if someone chooses to be saved today, that you have provided a scheme of redemption in which they can obey. Thankful for the doctrine of your Son that we are able to guide us and give us the direction we are to have in this life. Thankful, Lord, for the hope we have in your Son that in spite of the circumstances that may be around us, that we have the hope of heaven if we are obedient, faithful unto death, until you send him to claim his bride, the Church of Christ. Pray, Lord, someone is seeking the truth this evening. Pray, Lord, that someone wants to be a believer and obey the gospel. Pray that that person's heart be humbled in such a way that they will receive this message tonight with meekness, that they lay aside those impediments that would hinder them from obeying, but have the desire to want to please you and be acceptable in your sight. In your Son's Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very great tonight to have each and every person call on Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call. Tonight, we want to say to those who are on the call, not members of the Church of Christ, we want you to know you are very honored guests. We pray now you open your Bible up and take notes of the things that we will talk about tonight. Our speaker, the person of Brother Ricky Sales. Brother Ricky Sales is one of our very own in Hollow Heights. He's currently preaching at the Thomas Johnson Church of Christ in my hometown in Hempfield, Texas. So we're very thankful to have him on the call tonight. He's been in church a long time, great preacher of the gospel, completed our studies at Hollow Heights Ministerial Program. So with no further ado, we'll ask Brother Ricky Sell to come on. Brother Ricky, tell us about rejecting the truth. Tell us that.
Thanks for everyone who are on the call tonight. Thanks for this opportunity to be back on the National Gospel Conference call. Had an opportunity to kind of co-host this with Brother Thomas about 2 years, and it's good to be back on the call. And tonight, I'll be talking about this, Brother Tommy said, what saith the scripture about rejecting the word of God? You know, Jesus said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow living waters. So we have to believe on Jesus. We have to believe on God and in God and his word based on what the scripture has said. So tonight, I want to use for my text is John chapter number 12, John 12 and verse number 48. John chapter 12 and verse number 48. Jesus is doing the talking here. He's on his way to the cross. He's headed up to Jerusalem for the last time. You know, it's getting close to the feast of the Passover. And Jesus knows that his time is drawing near. He had been with his disciples, and he had been teaching them for about 3 years. And so, in John chapter 12, that's the backdrop for our lesson today. In verse number 48, the Bible says, he that rejected me. Jesus said, he. Now, that word he is generic, meaning it could be a man or a woman, you know, boy or a girl, so it's generic, whoever. He that rejected me. That word reject means to dismiss. Jesus said, whoever dismisses me as in my person for who I am. You know, many scholars say that they believe that Jesus was a historical person, that he actually lived. You know, quote, Christian historians or scholars, or even secular historians or scholars, they believe Jesus lived, but all don't agree about his person. And this is what Jesus is referring to. He that rejected me in my person as to who I am. And many, many people in Jesus' day, they rejected him for who he was. And in John 8:24, Jesus said these words, says, I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins if you believe not that I am he. See, this is the issue on the floor at this particular time. Who is Jesus? And they had lots of thoughts about who he was. during the day in which Jesus lived. But Jesus says, you're going to die in your sins if you don't believe that I am he. Let's talk about who that he is. I am he. Who was the he Jesus is talking about? Well, he's talking about, I'm the one who the prophets talked about. He says, now, you got to receive me as the one that the prophets talked about. He is the blessing that God will bless all nations through the seed of Abraham. You find that in Genesis chapter 12. And verse number 3, where God made that great promise to Abraham that all families of the earth will be blessed through his seed. So Jesus is that blessing, that seed, that promised one that will come through Abraham. And Jesus said, if you don't believe that I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. So if you don't believe that Jesus is that one that was promised, then you are rejecting the word of God. He also was that he of the branch of Judah, that Shiloh that would come carrying their scepter. The Shiloh means the shepherd, the good shepherd that was the lawgiver. Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. Old Jacob, he's an old man now. Jacob is talking to his boys. He's getting ready to die. And when Jacob finished talking to him, the Bible says he's going to pull up his feet into his bed, and he's going to give up the ghost and go to sleep with his fathers. So Jacob talking to his sons, and he talks to Judah specifically in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come. We talk about who that Shiloh is. Shiloh is that good shepherd. And that scepter means the royalty. It's the king, the lawgiver, just like Moses. He says, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Jesus said, once again, he that rejected me. And then he says, and about how that he was the he in John 8:24. So he that rejected me, he that rejected me as the he that was supposed to come, he says, you're going to die in your sins. We don't want to die in our sins. We don't want our family, friends, and loved ones to die in their sins. And Jesus also, he was the one that was prophesied by Moses to be that great lawgiver, just like Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse number 15, the Bible says, Moses is speaking, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from amidst of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. Moses said, God's going to raise up another prophet, and he's going to be just like me. He's going to be a lawgiver. And he said, unto him shall you hearken, unto him shall you listen to. Jesus said, he that rejected me as the he that was supposed to come. And, you know, man should not live by bread alone, Jesus told Satan when they had that conversation. He said, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Every word that Jesus is speaking is important. That word "and" is vitally important. That word "and" connects what he said about the he that rejected me as the he, and whatever he's going to say that's going to come behind it. They're equal. They're one in the same. So he said, he that rejected me and receiveth not my word. Oh, that's important right there. He said, he that rejected me and received not my word. The word received, that means to accept. And a deeper meaning is to be subject to voluntarily subject yourself to. Oh, boy. Oh, it gets a little hairy right there. He says, not only you accept me as the he, you got to accept me as the one that the prophets talked about, but you also have to receive my word. You know, many people in the world today, oh, they accept Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. I'll take Jesus every day. Yeah, all day, every day. I'll take Jesus. But they won't accept his word. But you have to accept Jesus not only in his person as being the Son of God, as being the he, but also you have to accept his word, what he has said. Many people today reject the word of Jesus. They want Jesus, but they reject his word. Why should we accept accept the word of Jesus unquestionably without objection? Well, Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5 to 11. I want to read that whole section right there. Let this mind be in you. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Why should we accept Jesus without question? Why should we accept Jesus' word and accept it without any objection? Because of what Jesus has done for us. We've already shown you in a few verses before that he was the promised one that God had made known through the prophets that he was going to come. But also, when he came, what did he do? Jesus came to take away the sins of the world. Paul says in verse number 8 again, he says, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He became lowly, subjected himself to the cruelties of this world, even the death on the cross. Jesus didn't have to do what he did, but because he was the he that the prophets talked about, because he was that Messiah, he was the one that was and that was to come. He was the one that came and they talked about him. It was prophesied that would happen. That they spit in his face. They mocked him. They teased him. They treated him everything in every way, brother, other than as if he was the Son of the Living God. He took that beating that old Pontius Pilate gave to him. By beating him with that flagellum, beating him to within an inch of his life, just beat him. Even his friends could not recognize who he was. Go back and read Isaiah 53. It talks about that, how they beat him. They tortured him. It was in pain and agony he suffered. Why did he do all that? Because he loved us. Why did he do all that? Because it was promised that he would do that. Why did he do all this? Because he was the he. He was the one that he said that if you don't believe that I am he, you're going to die in your sins. He took all that pain and agony and suffering, and then they marched him up a hill that they called Calvary to the place of the skull where Jesus the Christ, the promised one, the promised Messiah for Israel, their own king, when he came, they didn't even recognize or know who he was. And every Sabbath, they in the synagogue reading about it. And when he came, didn't even recognize who he was. You know, we do that today. Folk, I want Jesus, 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 Jesus. But when we tell them what Jesus says in his word, they reject him. See, you got to accept Jesus and his word. They go together. It's like a marriage. You know, I would not come eat dinner at your house if you tell me I could come eat, but my family can't. We got issues. We got to accept. We have an issue with God. We won't accept Jesus, but not his word. So he hung out there on that cross for 6 long hours through pain and agony and suffering. He finally gave up the ghost. They took him down. He placed him in the ground. After 3 days, his father raised him up with all power in his hands. Now, why should we accept Jesus without any objection, no question? Because of what he did for us. And when he got up out that grave, he said, all authority, all power. You want to know why you should accept Jesus' word without any objection? Because all power was given to him. Matthew chapter 20, verse 18 and following. All authority was given unto him. His father expressly tell all mankind, listen to my son. When Jesus was on that Mount of Transfiguration, Bible says in Luke 9:35, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." If you're on the call tonight, you need to listen to Jesus. I would venture to say, and I may be wrong, but I would just venture to say that if you're on this call tonight, most people accept Jesus' person as being the Son of God, God the Son. I would venture to say that. I could be wrong, but I would just venture to say most people would accept him as being God the Son, being the Savior. Most people will accept that. But when it comes to his word, we get a little shaky. We start scratching our head, and you know how we do. You know, well, I don't know, because we are so entrenched in our thoughts and what mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa has taught us. I know they're good people, but if mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa and uncle and whatever, if they have told us anything that goes against what the scripture says, remember Jesus said, you got to believe on me as the scripture says. If it's against what the scripture says, we have to cast that off, and we have to accept Jesus' word. Remember, you can't have Jesus without his word. They go hand in hand. As I was saying, men reject Christ's word in matters of religion today. Reject it all the time. Mark 16:15-16. I'm just going to prove it to you real quick. Jesus, talking to his disciples, got up out the grave. You know, it won't be long, he's going to be leaving them. And he tells them, now go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15-16. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. What's the gospel? I just told you. The suffering of Jesus the Christ, the death of Jesus the Christ on that cross, the burial of Jesus the Christ, and the glorious resurrection for our justification after those 3 days. That's the gospel. Excuse me. That's the gospel. So he told his disciples, now you go into all the world and you preach this gospel. You preach this good news. You tell them how I love them, how I love them so much that I was willing to give up my life for them. He says, now go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, this is what people start rejecting God's word right here. They start rejecting the word of Christ. And there's a problem with that. God got a problem with that. When we reject his word, we want him, but we don't want his word. They go together. He said, he that believeth and is baptized. Now, we have a problem with that "and" 2 moments ago, so we shouldn't have a problem with the "and" now. And tying up 2 words or phrases or clauses that are equal rank. Believe is equal to baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I didn't write that. Jesus did. Oh, you know, people, there ain't nothing in the water. There ain't nothing in the water. You know, you saved before your baptism. You know, just give me Jesus. I don't need your doctrine. I don't want your teaching. I don't need your doctrine. It ain't about doctrine and teaching. It's about Jesus. Well, let's see what the scriptures say. Remember what Jesus said? Believe on me as the scriptures say. See, you got a problem with you rejecting his word. Believe on me what as the scriptures say. 2 John 1:9. Whosoever, once again, it don't matter who you are. Mama, daddy, sister, brother, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa. It don't matter. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ. See, doctrine is important. But you got to have the right doctrine. It's the doctrine of Christ. Whosoever transgresses and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. Did you hear that? If you don't have the doctrine of Christ, the scriptures that Jesus points us to say we got to believe on him as the scriptures say you don't have God. But watch this. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. See, when we abide in the doctrine, in the teaching, in the word of Christ, we don't reject it. We accept it regardless of what I may feel. See, feelings ain't going to get you nowhere when it comes on the day of judgment. It ain't about feelings. It's about what has God said. What has he said. See, the early followers of Jesus Christ in the New Testament, they followed the doctrine of Christ that was taught by Jesus' apostles, that he told them to go into all the world and preach. They followed what they said. They did not reject the word. They did not reject the words of Christ. And the words of Christ were preached and taught by his apostles. And so when people in the first century, when Christians were first being made on that great day of Pentecost, let's just pull the curtain back and go back and look. You know, we had a camera, video camera. We just turn the video camera on and let's see how were men made Christians in the first century. You know, because folks say all kinds of stuff today. And many of them, sad to say, reject the word of Christ. They reject the word of God by their teaching, by their doctrine. They'll tell you doctrine is not important, but then on the other hand, they're teaching their doctrine. But let's see, how were Christians made? I just like to keep things simple, bare bones. Look what the Bible says. Here's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 2. You want to know what they did on the first occasion when Christians were being made, when men were added to the Lord? What did they do? Have you ever thought about that? That's a good question to ask. If there were no churches, no religion, and you were living back then and you found out about this Jesus, and you believe that, you know, I think something to that Jesus. I think he is that he. I think he is that Messiah. He is that promised one that was talked about by the prophets. Well, then, let's find out, how were men made Christians? How were men made followers of Jesus Christ for the first time? Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Peter preaching the first gospel sermon on that great day of Pentecost, after Peter and the rest of the apostles had received the Holy Spirit. But we're not going to read the whole thing. We don't have time. Acts chapter 2, we're going to start at verse 36. Peter and preached this great sermon. And he gets down to verse 36. He's transitioning. He done told them a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff they knew, a lot of stuff they didn't know. It was right there in their scriptures. They missed it. So he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus, see, he had been talking about Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now let's see if they're going to reject God's word. Remember now, Jesus told his disciples to go and preach it. Go preach what? They're going to preach what Jesus had taught them. So by them preaching what Jesus taught, they were preaching the word of Christ. They were not rejecting the word of Christ. Let's see if these people of the day of Pentecost, those that heard it, if they're going to reject the word of Christ. Acts chapter 2, verse 36 again. Once again, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, when they heard what Peter said, the Bible said they were cut to the heart. They were pricked, cut to the heart. They were made sorrow what they had heard. They realized they had killed the king. They had killed the one that the prophets had talked about. They had killed the he. And they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? People tell you, hey, no, you just believe Jesus in your heart. Put your hand on the radio. Just come down to the morning break. Let's see, what did Peter say? What did he say? Remember now, Peter speaking the words of Christ. Let's see what Peter said. The Bible says, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. All of y'all do the same thing in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. You want your sins blotted out? You want your sins canceled? You want to have a new, clean start with God? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Then if you drop down to verse number 42, verse 42, the Bible tells us they continued in the apostles' doctrine. These people, they didn't reject the word of God. They obeyed the gospel. They were baptized, about 3,000, that same day. They heard it. They obeyed it. They were baptized. They did not reject the word of God. They accepted Christ's word while many, and their day and even also our day rejected. And it's sad. A couple of things in my closing. The first century Christians did not reject the word of God. They obeyed the word of God. They assembled on the first day of the week, every first day of the week, because they were following the apostles' doctrine. They were following what the teaching of the apostles had received from the Lord. They did not reject God's word. They observed the Lord's Supper every Lord's day. Acts chapter 20, verse 7. You know, I was reading an article one time as I hastened to a close. I was reading the article one time, and the article was someone was talking to a Jewish priest, well, a rabbi, Jewish rabbi, and they were asking him, what does the commandment of remember the Sabbath truly mean? And how often should they remember the Sabbath? And the way this rabbi explained it was, every Sabbath had to be remembered or celebrated or kept. He said that was understood in the wording. Every Sabbath, even though the Bible didn't, Moses didn't say remember every Sabbath, he said remember the Sabbath. Well, so what's the point? The point is that we read in Acts 27 that when the disciples came together to break bread, celebrate the Lord's Supper, it didn't have to say every first day of the week. It's understood just like it was for remember the Sabbath. That's something to think about. That's something you let that marinate for a while. They sung without the use of mechanical instruments and music. Why? Because they were keeping and not rejecting the word of God. They gave up their means. They listened to God's word being taught, and they prayed together. Why? Because they were not rejecting the words of Christ. Jesus said in the latter part, let's get back to our text, the latter part of our text, we bring this to a close. He says, he that rejected me, receiving not my word, that one that judges him. Here it is, the latter part. The words I have spoken, the words I have spoken, the same, not something else, the same, going to judge you in the last day. If we reject the word of God, those same words going to meet us on that day of judgment. What happens to people who reject God's word? What happens to people who refuse to obey the gospel? Matthew chapter 7, verse 20 and 21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. He says, many will say unto me in that day, talking about that day of judgment, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not cast out devils in thy name? Have we done many wonderful works? Sound like religious folk to me. Sound like people that's trying to do the right thing. But what? They have rejected the word of God. How you know? Let's keep reading. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me. I could just imagine in the mouth open, hands out, like, what's going on? And Jesus tells them why. Ye that worketh iniquity, lawlessness, or you operated outside the law. That's what that phrase, iniquity, means. You operated outside my word. Remember, the key is not to reject God's word. There's a penalty and a price to pay for all those who would reject the word of God. You're on this call tonight. You're on this call today. Don't reject the word of God. I just gave you a few examples. But don't reject the word of God. Don't reject the words of Christ. Remember, he said, he that rejected me. See, you got to accept him as who he is, the promised one. He is the he. But also, accept his words and the words of his the apostles, his messengers that went out and spread the gospel, rather, to the whole world. You're on the call now. You need to become a Christian. You need to obey that old gospel story. I told you how he loved you. I told you how he came and gave his life for you. You need to believe that with all your heart. Be willing to repent of your sins. Say, Lord, I've been trying to do it my way. I've been rejecting your word. I've been depending on tradition, the tradition of my family. I want to do it your way. Be willing to repent. That means change. Change those that mindset. Confess that Jesus is the Christ, Acts 8:36 and following, that he is the Son of the living God, and be willing to go down with him in baptism. Boy, something fantastic happens when you go in baptism. I know folks ain't done in the water. We talked about that earlier. Oh, but something marvelous happens in that tomb of baptism. Number one, God cuts away your sin. Ooh, he does operation and cut the sin away. Just imagine, you know, God forbid, but tomorrow the doctor said you got this bad disease. You got this bad disease. And the only thing we think we can save, we got that operation. We got to cut it out. And it's in a bad place, you know. A lot of places, you know, they can have access to, but let's say it was in your brain. God forbid, but just work with me here. And the doctor, they do the operation, and it's yourself. He said, we got it all. You know how relieved you're going to feel, how good you're going to feel. But guess what? When you go down in that watery grave of baptism with Jesus Christ, he cuts away all the sins you ever committed. And you rise up out that watery grave of baptism, a new creature in Christ. And something really fantastic also happens when you come up out that water. You got something in your hand. Now, I'm not talking about your physical hand. Spiritually speaking, you got something in your hand. You know what you got in your hand? You got a pardon. Oh, that's a good thing right there. You got a pardon in your hand. You know, a person that committed this heinous crime. But then he go to the president, and the president write him out a pardon. It's like whatever he has done, it's all forgotten. It never happened. So when you come up out that watery grave of baptism, you got that pardon in your hand. God is giving you a pardon, forgiving you of everything you've ever done. And then he tells you, Revelation 2:10, you got not be faithful, even if it caused your death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Lord have mercy. You got the pardon in your hand, and you just be faithful. You hold on. He's going to be right there working with you to help you to be faithful to the end, and he'll give you a crown of life. Oh, then the Lord will add you to his church. You ain't got to worry, but he's going to put you in the right church. See, people come up with all kinds of churches today, but Jesus only promised to build one. When he told his disciples, upon this rock I'll build my church, Matthew 16, when he told him he's going to build his church, he was talking about his church. He wasn't talking about John the Baptist's church or Boniface III's church. He wasn't talking about the Pope's church. He was talking about his church. His church wears his name. The Christians in the first century, remember we talked about them earlier? They were all members of one church, the church that belonged to Christ. Romans 16:16, they were members of the church of Christ. It's just that simple, friends. I know it may go against what your mindset may have been and something you may have heard. That's why we give you what the scriptures say. Remember what Jesus says? He that believeth on me, as the scriptures say. Don't be one of those tonight that reject the word of God. Because Jesus is going to say, depart from me. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Thank you so much for listening. And once again, I'm excited to have this opportunity to be back on the National Gospel Conference call. At this time, turn it back over to Brother Tommy.
Thank you, Brother Ricky. We appreciate you so very much for accepting our invitation, and we thank you for the message. And certainly, I don't want to be in that group of people that have rejected Jesus and his word. And Jesus said, as one that judged him, the word that I've spoken the same, I'm going to judge in the last day. If you're on the call tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we put this call on with you in mind. We want you to be saved. We believe in the churches of Christ that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right. If you want to be saved, you want to be born of the water and of the Spirit, then the Lord will add you to his church, the Church of Christ. Then you get back with the person who invited you on the call and tell them you want to be washed in that blood. You want your sins forgiven. And you want to be cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. We hope you'll do that. You need to do that before you die. You'll die in your sins if you don't. Why don't you get baptized like the young man did today? Listen to Brother Samuel last night. He called him and told him, I want to discuss baptism. Why don't you call the person who invited you and talk about you need to be baptized? And if you want more information, you email us. And we'll make arrangements for you. If you need Bible class, or you need congregation that you can go to get baptized, just email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. And we will respond to your email, make sure we make all arrangements for you. And perhaps you want to go and listen carefully to the scriptures that were given tonight. Maybe you missed one or two or whatever. You want to go back, you can go to our website, HowlandHeightsCoc.net. That's HowlandHeightsCoc.net. And there all the sermons are recorded and uploaded. You can just click on Brother Ricketts' sermon tonight, download it, listen to it, rewind it, stop it, do whatever you got to do. Take your time. Listen carefully. Not just his message, all of our speakers that we brought on for this nationwide gospel meeting call since the month of May, all recorded. They're right there on our website. So go on there and check it out. And download it. Share it with others also. You can go share all the information with others that you may know as well. So let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for this night you've given us. Thank you for loving the world. Thank you for giving your son. And we thank him for giving his life on Calvary. Lord, we thank him. For we know he suffered a shameful death. And that blood was precious. The precious blood of the Lamb. That your son shed it on that cross. And Lord, we want to be obedient to him. We pray we will never be guilty of rejecting him and your word, his word. And Lord, we just pray for our visitors, those who are not members of your son's church, the Church of Christ. That they don't know tonight, we speak the truth in love. They have received it with meekness. Understanding is able to save their very souls. And Lord, we pray for all of us who are striving to make heaven our home, that we will never reject you. We'll never reject your son, nor we reject your word. We thank you, Father, for the Bible, that we can read it, and we can say what said the scripture. And the scripture is informing us not to reject you. We thank you for giving us your word. Be with us now, Lord, as we continue this gospel meeting. We rejoice with the angels in heaven of those who have restored, those who have been baptized. We pray you continue to send those our way who are seeking to be true worshipers. For we know you seek them. It's in Jesus' name we pray, Father. Amen. Another great night. Brother Melvin O'Te tomorrow night. Let's close this out, this week out, with a large number. Invite as many people you can for tomorrow night. Let's close it out. We've been talking about the Word of God all week this week. Come tomorrow night. It's dangerous to add or take away from the Word of God. You don't want to miss it. We thank all of you for joining us. We love you. We pray you have a good night's rest. Those who haven't obeyed, you need to do it. Or you're going to be in that number. They rejected him. And that won't be good. Sleep on that one.